Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the program. I know, no intro. Took you by surprise, didn't I? Well, everybody, and I mean everybody, save for yours truly, is at the NRB conference. And so they're enjoying fellowship. They're enjoying getting together with other like-minded believers. They're enjoying networking. I know that's a buzzword, but it's true. Networking is important. Fellowship is important. Getting to know other believers, and actually forming, a friendship, a bond, interacting with each other. 'Cause there's a lot of lone wolves in the church today. There's a lot of lone wolves in ministry today, and they're so protective of their little piece of the pie. They're so protective of their little micro kingdom that they are unwilling to work together with other believers for a common cause. I think that's the best way that I can put it. And I think this is detrimental to the pursuit of Christendom at large, because the other side works together very well. Even enemies get together when they have a common enemy on the other side. And yet believers seem to bring out the long knives against each other and try to stab each other in the back far more often than they want to embrace each other, than they want to understand that we are all unique individuals and that we're allowed to have different perspectives. And that we are allowed to have differences of opinion and still be brothers in Christ. But if at the drop of a hat you throw out words like heretic, and you start attempting to speak Hebrew at me, saying Ichabod, Ichabod, not really knowing what that means, we don't have common ground. And this is one of those seeds that the enemy is very fond of sowing. This is one of those seeds that the enemy is very fond of watering and watching grow. Look, I'm not saying not to confront deception in the church, but theological deception and differences of opinion are two very different things. And right now, apparently, we're willing to stab at anyone that didn't vote for our next door neighbor in the last elections. Because he was the only man that could put America aright. We're destroying ourselves from within. We're forming these little factions, and within each faction, there's a pseudo dictator of sorts that you must agree with wholeheartedly, that you must agree with 100%. Because if you do not, if you don't toe the line, if you disagree at all with the tenets of what they believe, then all of a sudden, Ichabod, Ichabod. Okay, all right, good to know. So, yeah, no intro music. I know that was a roundabout way of saying no intro music. Everyone's enjoying fellowship, and I am holding down the fort in a very snowy, very cold, very bleak Wisconsin. But I do welcome you to the program. And I do thank you for joining us. And if I failed to mention it, this is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am Michael Boldea, your host. And as I promised 2 weeks ago, yes, we are back. We are live. And we're ready to get back into it, you know, both feet and both barrels. Even if we didn't have intro music to get us all pumped up, we're going to talk about some important things tonight. And they're important because far too many believers are sitting on their hands. Far too many believers are sitting on the sidelines. Far too many believers have either checked out on one side or believe that one man can change the course of the nation on the other side. And both sides are wrong in this issue. One man cannot, by force of will, no matter how strong that will is, change the course of the nation unaided. nor is sitting on our hands and doing absolutely nothing, hoping to see utter destruction so that we could utter the words, "I told you so." That isn't an option either. So we're going to discuss that tonight. I'm going to make enemies on both sides, most likely. But you know what? I'm okay with that. The older I get, the thicker my skin gets. And sometimes you have to lose friends. It's the reality of the world we live in. And I know that, you know, if you lose a friend, then they weren't really your friend to begin with. That whole, if you love a bird, let it go, you know, and if it comes back, then it's meant to live in the cage. But just to make sure it returns, you know, tie a string to its foot. Anyway, I'm beyond giving too much of my time or allowing myself to get emotional over some of the things that I hear, over some of the emails that I get, over some of the messages that I've received of late. Because each of us, in our own right, will one day stand before an eternal God. And I have searched my heart, and I have looked in the Word, and I do believe, in fact, I know, that I can stand before my God and my hands are clean. And I don't know if some of you pouring on the vitriol can say the same thing. For those of you who came to the Orlando meeting and actually found the conference room, thank you for coming. It was good to see you. And for those of you who simply couldn't find the room, my sincerest apologies. Some of these places are just gargantuan. And when it takes you pretty much less time to walk across a small town than it does a resort complex, well, then you know you've got a problem. Maybe next time we'll just rent out a Chuck E. Cheese or something. It would make it a whole lot easier to find. And hey, pizza. So it was what it was. Seriously, though, thank you all for coming. I know some of you listen to the radio program. And as I said in my talk, it seems as though many Christians are feeling as though they got permission to go back to sleep. It seems as though there is this false sense of ease and a false sense of security making its way through Christendom, and we want it so much and we want it so bad that we're unwilling to open our eyes and look around and realize just how perilous a situation the nation finds itself in. But all we got was an opportunity to compel change. All we got was a respite to do what we ought to have been doing all along. All we got was one more chance to actually be the light in the darkness and actually be the salt of the earth. And if we allow this opportunity to pass us by as well, I fear that another will not be forthcoming. And I do believe that we will be called to account for the time that we wasted and the opportunities that we allowed to pass us by. I said it before and I will say it again. One man cannot change the direction or course of this nation, no matter how imposing or fearless that man might be. Only way. I underline the only way to change the direction this nation is headed down is for the church in its entirety to shake off the dust, to shake off the weariness, to shake off the indifference, to shake off the duplicity, and to actually be about the Father's business, with the enthusiasm and the energy of first love. Understand this, that anything less than our all, anything less than total commitment to spreading the message of Christ, a risen Christ, a glorified Christ, a saving Christ, a loving Christ, a merciful Christ, will not be enough. Because as I've warned repeatedly, the darkness is not taking a break. It is not resting on its laurels. It is not licking its wounds. It is advancing. And its adherents seem to be getting more and more berserk with each passing day. I'm going to say something controversial. I know, not the first time, but here goes. I believe that if things keep going the way they've been going, we are on the precipice of violence, anarchy. We are on the precipice of lawlessness in this nation. And it will not take very much to push us over the edge. Now, what is troublesome is that so many are fueling the flames of this nonsense, people who are in positions of influence, yet people who will never have to directly suffer the effects of the destruction they are so keen on unleashing. This is what sticks in my craw the most. This is what irritates me to the point of anger. It's the disingenuousness of their argument. The fact that if you allow one and all to flood our shores and come to America unvetted and undocumented, people will not be moving into the gated community and the multi-million dollar mansions these people live in. They'll be moving to the lower middle class neighborhoods 90% of America lives in, attempting to impose their way of life on the unsuspecting public. So the next time a movie star or a director or a billionaire insists that you're intolerant and unloving for wanting to be safe in your crummy apartment next to a Walmart, the next time they tell you you're a bigot, unlike them, you can't afford round-the-clock security and high fences and alarm systems and gated communities and helicopter rides. Just turn them off. Change the channel. Remember the face. Remember the name. Remember the company that they represent. Remember the business that they're the head of. Remember the movie studio that they're trying to get you to buy a ticket to. And do the exact opposite. Avoid doing business with them. Don't go see their movies. Call your local cinema and encourage them not to have that movie in its cinema. To be blatant about it because they're shameless. If what you bestow upon the mass populace will not affect you personally, then I don't want to hear it. So when I don't know, Mark Zuckerberg decides to let 100 refugees live in his mansion, then I can finally say, okay, I'll hear you out. Look, it's easy for me to insist that you do something that will in no way adversely affect me. It's easy for me to insist that you endure something that I will not have to likewise endure. Look, a perfect example of this was the passing of Obamacare by Congress. Something they would never have to suffer the effects of because they get special health care, you know, for being representatives of the people and whatnot. It is this sort of disconnect, this sort of projection of rules and regulations upon others when you don't have to suffer them yourself, that is just stomach churning. Oh, Brother Mike, here you go again. Why can't we be a little more heavenly minded? Because we're living on this earth, in this nation, at this time. And we're not here needlessly. We're here for a purpose. And that purpose isn't to gaze at our navels or make little lint balls from the stuff that we pull out of our belly buttons. I know. It's self-righteousness is just intoxicating, isn't it? We can get away with so much if we can just be self-righteous enough. We can get away with not saying anything and not doing anything. And still think ourselves head and shoulders above our fellow man. Look, the reason that this sort of mindset is so offensive to me is because it reeks of communism. It reeks of the mindset of Karl Marx. The laws are for the masses, for the drones, for the faceless, nameless, for the taxpayers who see more and more of their hard-earned money being extracted from their paychecks before they even get a chance to touch it. The subjugation is for the populace, not for the ruling class. And if you hope to have a ruling class that is compliant and does what you want them to do, then you have to pick the most shameless lickspittles you can find, those bordering on mental retardation, who are willing to do and say anything you tell them to do or say just to remain in the club, just to be part of the inner circle, just to continue getting all the benefits afforded to them, and yes, why not make a few side deals along the way to ensure the financial stability of their families for generations to come. Seriously, the definition of public service sure has changed since the days of Jefferson and Adams and Franklin, haven't they? How exactly did we get to this? No, I know I'm off on a tangent, but honestly, seriously, take a second. How get here exactly? We started out with men of dignity and brilliance. We started out with guys like Benjamin Franklin and John Adams and James Madison and Alexander Hamilton. And a few hundred years later, we have Nancy Pelosi. That's right, Nancy, tell him you're a Muslim, Pelosi. And Maxine, where am I, Waters? Did we get from Franklin and Madison to Pelosi and Waters? Riddle me this. Oh, and as an aside, did you see Nancy tell him you're a Muslim Pelosi's face the other night during the president's speech to the two branches of Congress? It was priceless. Look, she looked like she'd just eaten an entire jarful of pickled pig snouts. But back to what I was saying, back to the initial idea here. This is the best and the brightest. I could go down the list. Al Franken. Elizabeth, I'm an Indian Warren. This is the best and the brightest? This is who gets voted into office over and over again? How can we hope to have a well-run government when people such as these get elected to higher office? We need to understand what's happening. because it's far deeper than we want to believe. Although a version of the following quote has been attributed to basically everyone from the Tocqueville to Alexander Fraser Tiddler, look, it is nevertheless true and timely. And this is how we got from Franklin and Adams and Jefferson to Pelosi and Franken and Edwards. This is the secret. So listen up. The quote is this: "The American Republic will endure until politicians realize they can bribe the people with their own money." Genius. That is, in a nutshell, what is wrong with government today. The American Republic will endure until politicians realize that they can bribe the people with their own money. Tell me that that's not one of the timeliest quotes that you've ever heard. Now, a more pompous variation of this says as follows. I have it written down in a notebook, and I've had it written down forever, and it's becoming more true with each passing day. A democracy exists as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the majority discovers it can vote itself largesse out of the public treasury. After that, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits, with the result, the democracy collapses because of the loose fiscal policy ensuing, always to be followed by a dictatorship, then a monarchy. And in many, many parts of this nation, people have realized that they can vote themselves largesse out of the public treasury if they keep reelecting people like the aforementioned, tell them you're a Muslim, Pelosi, and where exactly am I, Waters. This is the problem with American government. And it's been this way for such a long time. And there are so many of these kinds of people that are so entrenched in the current political machine that the most we can hope for with this current administration is that this sort of mindset is curbed and perhaps even stamped out. This mindset that people can vote benefits for themselves at the expense of other individuals. Two wolves and a sheep voting on what gets eaten for dinner. It never ends well for the sheep. But we have no rightful expectation to. What we cannot hope is that this administration will somehow reinstitute morality. What we cannot hope is that this administration will somehow highlight the need for Christ in a fallen world. Look, it's nice to hear a president say, God bless America again. I'm not going to lie to you. But we can't hope for government to be beacons of Christianity. Sorry, kitty, that's not government's job. That's the church's job. And if the church is expecting the government to do its job for it, in for a rude awakening. Because there's a lot of people with a lot of expectation. And it's very unrealistic. It's not government's job to preach Christ. It's the church's job to preach Christ. The best we can hope for is that government doesn't persecute us for doing it, which, hallelujah, it seems it's not going to, at least for a season. Outsource being light to somebody else. You can't outsource being salt to somebody else. You can't outsource labor to somebody else when it comes to spiritual things. Nor can you outsource relationship and intimacy with God to somebody else. But it seems everything's getting outsourced nowadays. Doesn't matter what it is. Somebody else can do it. We just want to have fun. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Well, sometimes you got to grow up. It's past time some of you grew up. There's a song I used to sing when I was a kid. And I know there's a version of it in English. But the song goes, "Not my mother or my father, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." And the other verse goes, "Not the stranger or the neighbor, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." You cannot outsource your duty towards God to government. It's never going to work. Now, we're very quick to point the finger at the shortcomings of others, but we're not so readily inclined to look inward. We're not so readily inclined to search our hearts and see whether or not there's an issue that we need to deal with. If there are responsibilities that we need to undertake, and if there is work that we need to be doing for the kingdom of God. It is intellectually dishonest for us to look every which way possible to do less for God while we're expecting everyone else to do more. Now, this is doubly true if you're fool enough to expect government to be the one doing the work of the kingdom on your behalf or in lieu of you. That's just never going to happen. And it doesn't matter who's in office, and it doesn't matter which political party is at the helm. That is never going to happen. The best you can hope for is that you don't get put in prison for preaching. Hallelujah. As yet, you're not getting put in prison for preaching. It's happening in other nations, happening in England. As yet, not here. And although you can outlaw certain practices and certain things, like the murder of babies, which is a good thing to outlaw something like that. But although you can outlaw it, we cannot legislate morality or a moral standard. Do you understand the difference? It's not a small difference. It's not semantics here. You can legislate and outlaw the murder of babies, but you can't legislate morality because it's an issue of the heart. And I believe that this is where the church must step up and step in and lead by example. I believe that this is where the church must step up and step in and live the righteousness the Bible speaks of, and do so unashamedly. We must be bold enough to say the hard and difficult thing rather than squirm in our seats and find a justification for the most loathsome of practices. We must be bold enough stand on the word of God and call sin by name and point out the reality of just how destructive and how detrimental to human existence sin is. Government's not going to do that for the church. It's the church that has to step up and stand in the gap. Before I talk for another 30 minutes, which I have been known to do, I want to read a couple of your messages and a couple of your emails and letters and hopefully answer them, because it's been 2 weeks. And this following is an email that I got from my friend, Jeff. He knows who he is. And he begins and says this: "Mike, after listening to your last broadcast on 2/16, I've been thinking a lot about what you said. I agree we need to do something to combat this wave of deception and blasphemy. We are not shills for the president, but there seems to be a need to speak out to combat the deception propagated by these minions of the devil. I don't want to be a political activist. Neither do I. But I do want to see like-minded Christians get together and directly or indirectly support those that are vocally proclaiming the truth, either on the internet, radio, TV, etc. That support could be financial, sharing information via word of mouth or social media, or by showing up at events. I've never been politically active, and I don't want to be. Hear, hear. I would much rather see the gospel of Jesus Christ spread than try to advance someone's political agenda. But having said that, evil is rising like never before, and like always, it migrates into places of influence." Exactly. Governments, corporations, media institutions of indoctrination, actually media, comma, institutions of indoctrination, public schools, colleges, and even into the churches. Agreed. I've also been thinking about the coming persecution, when the true Christians will have to go underground, like so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ have done throughout the world and throughout history. Yeah, we're going to, oh, there's so much to unpack here, Jeff. Because see, now you have a very large number of Christians that don't believe persecution is forthcoming anymore. Again, it's that two extremes. They believe that we've been forgiven all our wrongs without repentance because we elected Donald Trump as president. It is a fallacy. Again, I say this. I try to be as balanced an individual and biblically centered as humanly possible, because it is imperative. It's easy to allow opinion and hope to sway truth. Again, the only thing is that we've been given a window to do what we were supposed to be doing all along. Would it have been much more difficult had the other side won? Yes, I believe persecution would have been forthcoming a lot sooner. But that does not mean that persecution is not on the horizon. It does not mean that persecution has been done away with completely. It is coming. Prepare yourself. It is coming. And if we continue to do nothing, if we continue to be inactive, if we continue to be just a massive blob sitting in church, giving our tithe, hoping for a bigger jet plane for our preacher, it's going to come that much sooner. But let me finish Jeff's letter here, and then go a little bit into this, because it's important. Because anybody that has known me for any length of time knows that I'm not a political person. I'm apolitical at best. But see, I realize that Maybe this is what the darkness is counting on. We'll get into it. Let's finish reading the letter, and then I want to share a few thoughts with you. So Jeff continues, and he says, I've also been thinking about the coming persecution when the true Christians will have to go underground like so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ have done throughout the world and throughout history. So I wanted to hear your ideas as a follow-up to your 216 podcast. I agree that we must do something. But what? What is it? $64,000 question. What would it look like from your perspective? Thanks and God bless, Jeff. Well, there's a loaded question, isn't it? All right. Let's break it down. Let me start out by saying this. Doing nothing is not an option. I'm going to say that again. Doing nothing is not an option. If you think it is, then you're in for a rude awakening. So there are things that we can do. Saying rah-rah political, but there are things that we can do to affect change locally. And local change oftentimes has a ripple effect. And the first thing that I think and I believe that we must do before anything else is be informed. Know what you're talking about. Facts are very stubborn things. And facts will outweigh both emotionality and petulant screaming in the long run. Look, you will always have a segment of the population that just wants to see it all burn down. You will always have the people that you can never reach. You will always have the fools. You will always have the anarchists. You will always have those special, special people that just scream inanities because they rhyme. You will always have the useful idiots of society. But they're a minority, and they're a small minority because the great mass of people simply swallows and then regurgitates what they hear on the news. And this is something that I agree with the president on. A lot of it, very fake news. Not just very fake news, outright propaganda. And every single shill that you see on every major news network would have given their right and left pinkies to have Hillary elected as president. They work day and night for this not to be the outcome of the election. They are living their nightmare. Every morning they wake up, half of them are probably contemplating suicide because they cannot see life with this administration for 4, perhaps 8 years. And so they're doing everything humanly possible to try to undermine and destroy and tear down. I read something today, 83 or 87% of the news stories regarding the current administration in the last month have been negative. Anybody wants to take the time and go back 8 years? And see how little of it was negative, how everybody thought that Barack Hussein Obama was going to walk on water. Yeah. So this is where these people indoctrinate. This is what they do. They actually came out and said their job is to form public opinion. Oh, silly, your job is to report the news. This is what happened. Don't inject your opinion into it. But see, this is where it's changed. They believe that their job is to mold public opinion. And that's where it gets dangerous because that's what propaganda is. So the first thing that you must do is to be informed about everything. If you don't know who your senator is or what they believe, if you don't know who your representative is in Congress or what they believe, if you're unwilling to engage on any level, then you have no right to bemoan the situation no matter how bad it gets. Put myself in an impossible situation and then start crying out to Jesus to save me. I can't sit in my kitchen with my gas turned on high, flicking matches, going, Jesus, save me. It's good to use wisdom once in a while, people. It's good to be proactive about things that will affect you and your children and your children's children. Because the other side seemingly is tireless. They just keep coming and coming and coming. Look, as the more I've thought about this, the more I believe the following statement to be true. The darkness is counting on your silence. Period. The darkness is counting on your silence. There are minions of Satan, even now, who insist that we should all be putting on white robes and finding the tallest mountain we can find and just wait there until Jesus returns, paying no never mind to anything that is happening on the earth. Dan, does it come across? Will you pull your head out of the sand long enough to look around and see that beginning with kindergarten, the children in this nation are being indoctrinated? They're being taught from an early age, when they're the most impressionable, that abomination is perfectly fine, that homosexuality is beautiful, that transgenderism in preteen children is something to be applauded and encouraged. Our silence has allowed this. And the darkness is counting on your silence still. Do you realize the things that are being taught to the children in this nation, to your children? Children are being told that you are a backward, antiquated fool because you believe in God. Who was it? Albert Gore, "The world is ending and the polar bears are dying." Albert Gore said to 13-year-olds, "Your parents don't know anything. You know more than your parents." Yes, you do. Again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, get informed. Look it up. Show up to your kids' teacher-parent conference. Look through their curriculum. See what they're being taught. Kids, man. I know for you it'd be easier to go put on the white robe and, oh, Jesus is coming. But he didn't leave us here to just sing aloud until he returns. We're supposed to occupy. Look, there's enough blame to go around. Don't just blame the devil for this generation of children being lost. Maybe blame ourselves a little bit for not doing anything. Seriously. This is exactly how we got to this point. This is exactly how we got to the point of our children being indoctrinated from kindergarten. What was it? What was it I said? I heard, and this, if I ever meet this man, Lord, keep me on the straight and narrow. Was it Chris Cuomo, a brilliant mind on CNN, said that if you object, if you have a problem, if you find issue and take issue with a grown man in a dress walking into the same restroom as your 12-year-old daughter, then you are simply a bigot.
You're just bigoted.
This is what is being shoved down the throats of this nation. And it seems as though not one Christian luminary, not one spiritual leader, stand up and say, this is evil. It is wrong. It is sin. Is it abomination? It's mental disease. You need help. You can't deny science. You can't deny biology. They call us science deniers? Are you serious? Evolution hasn't been proven. It's a theory. Biology is not a theory. Chromosomes, X and Y. Male and female. But we're not even willing to point out the obvious.
I don't want to offend anybody. What happens if I offend somebody? Maybe they'll get treatment.
I don't know, maybe it takes some tough love to get them some help. Because if you're a fully grown man and you think you're a woman and you put on a dress and lipstick and expect for everyone else to be okay with you going into a women's bathroom, then you deserve to be in a padded cell.
But see, instead of doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is calling out sin by name, which is being light, we're all becoming social justice warriors. That's what the church is becoming. And nobody can really define what this all elusive social justice is, except let them in, let them all in.
For trying every single judge that stood in the way of vetting for harboring terrorism the next time a terrorist attack occurs on American soil. And I don't believe it's a far off, because it's not. But going back to Jeff's question, as I said, the first thing that you must do is be informed. Know your stuff. Look, it's shameful when atheists can quote the Bible to Christians better than Christians can. It's shameful when we only know the superficial things about the things we're passionate about, and we can't defend our position at the first sign of pushback. Arm yourself with the facts. There is no easier way to defeat deception than with a healthy, heavy dose of truth. The second thing that we must do is be bold. I know. Boldness in today's day and age, hard to come by. It's a commodity. But if you don't have boldness, pray for boldness. It's what the apostles did. Worked out pretty good for them. Pray for boldness. But be bold. Engage. Don't be silent. Look, I'm not telling you to be a jerk for Jesus. But don't you dare be a chicken for Jesus either. When you see someone insisting upon a lie, be bold enough to confront them with the truth, no matter how difficult it may be for you. Have the courage of your convictions to speak plainly and boldly and with authority. And that's where I believe that number three comes into play. Authority. Speak with authority. If you possess knowledge and if you possess boldness, then speaking with authority will be a second nature to you if you know that you're in the right. Don't try to Joel Osteen the situation and placate infantile fools and degenerates. Call it what it is. Be bold in doing it, and do it with the authority that comes when you are proclaiming your convictions. Look, I've told you during the past few months, the darkness is not going to stop.
I've told you that the agenda is preeminent and that they will do anything to achieve it. Look, as of today, a couple hours ago, they're trying to red herring another top administration official, this time Jeff Sessions, the AG. The same bogus nonsense that they got General Flynn on. So, once and for all, given all the emails that I've gotten, let's make this very clear. If the Russians could have swayed the election in anyone's favor, it would not have been in Donald Trump's favor. If you understand the Russian mind, if you understand the way it works in Europe, especially Eastern Europe, you would understand that they would back the horse that was most bribable. The horse that they were more likely to convince of doing something against the national interest for a hefty paycheck. You know, like selling 25% of the nation's uranium reserves or something like that. There has never been a more corrupt politician than the Clinton clan. They were somebody the Russians could work with. Give them enough money, they'd do anything for it. And again, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it means you're ill-informed. And you need to go back to step number one and get informed. Do you realize that Senator Ted Kennedy actually tried to get the Russians to sabotage Ronald Reagan's election? Documented fact, kids. He actually wrote the Kremlin hoping for an ally against Ronald Reagan. True story. This is the kind of opposition that you're dealing with. People with no scruples, people with no morals, people with no sense of right or wrong, single-minded, solely focused zombies who will do anything, say anything, throw anyone under a bus, run them over a few dozen times for good measure, just to get their way. If you think that we'll be seeing an end to this madness anytime soon, I guarantee you we will not. This is something you may not have heard. But it's more important than what they're trying to do to Jeff Sessions. Just today, it seems that Valerie Jarrett, and if you don't know who that is, my oh my, shame on you. Valerie Jarrett moved into the former President Obama's new digs in Washington, D.C. Ah! Yeah. Pray tell, I wonder why. Look, let me let you in on a little secret. And I know that at this point I may be sounding a little Alex Jonesy. But this is the way I see it. This is the way it's panning out. The peaceful transition of power was an illusion. Because they couldn't risk half of America, you know, the half with the guns, marching on Washington. In the shadows, in the background, however, assisted by the media, assisted by CNN and NBC and MSNBC and all the other fools, they are undermining and attempting to destabilize this present administration at every single turn. Obama's new house is now a war room, and Valerie Jarrett moved in. If you think this is coming to an end anytime soon, think again. Now, another thing that we must do as individuals is not be ashamed of who we are. Because there is nothing shameful in being a child of God. Why are Christians more ashamed of saying they're Christians than perverts are about saying that they're perverted? Good question, isn't it? You see, the darkness and the minions thereof need to understand that the nation, or the rest of the nation, isn't rolling over and playing dead. These functionally retarded wastes of oxygen actually believe that they can get Chairman Rodham installed as de facto president if they cause enough of a headache for the current administration. So, we got a battle on our hands. On many fronts, we got a battle on our hands. But I think that the list that I've laid out, pretty good start, cuff sort of thing. So, Jeff, I hope that I've answered your question. I know it was a little long in the tooth, but it's been one of those weeks. Now, I do have another letter here, and we have 3 minutes, so I'm going to read it quickly. And it says this: Hello. Hello. I have been a listener. Hold on. I have been a listener for the last 8 months. Thanks for all you do. Well, you're welcome. And for the truth which you speak. I get a good laugh out of some of the letters you read and the comments and put downs which you receive, as do I. It is hard for one to fathom that so-called Christians would have a problem with supporting a very pro-life person. I guess the current church position today is pass me the baby killer in Jesus' name. Ouch. But not untrue. Please don't ever apologize for speaking the truth, and don't ever stop. I believe the biggest problem today is the church. In the church is we have become privately engaging and publicly irrelevant. Ding, ding, ding. I will send you a box of Twinkies. You hit the nail on the head, sir. I think that we are at a time when the world will no longer stay in the street. They will beat down the door of the church and demand to come in, and that we come out. Come out, wherever you are, Christian. We are back in the days of Lot. The privatization of faith may be the death of the public church. We shall see. Thank you once again. What I believe in my heart must in the streets. Amen. Bless you in the name of the truth, i.e. Jesus, R.C., R.C. Thank you for a very nice letter and for the great points that you made. I think they're worthy of contemplation, and we may actually get into them next week. But for now, it would seem that we are almost out of time. Thank you to all of you who took the time to listen and who will be listening on YouTube later. May God bless you. May God keep you. And Lord willing, we will be together again next week. Until then, go do something for the kingdom. How about that? That's your work for this week. That's your homework. Do something for the kingdom.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are